recording? Are we recording? What about now?
Jason.
Are we recording now?
Jason, wake up.
Yeah, are we recording now?
Hey, by the way, I want everybody to know that Jason was late today.
Oh, my gosh.
And he was a little on the grumpy side, which is not like Jason. Yeah, look, he's giving attitude right now.
Yeah, Jason, he's always grumpy. I mean, really.
He's, you know, it's the thing, he's never grumpy, but he you could see it in his eyes a little bit.
Oh, Jason.
Like, there's some pain in there, some grumpiness.
He's the joy of the Lord kind of guy. Yeah, he's got it in there. I love it.
Sad
Except
situation.
Today. Well,
thanks
for checking out today's episode of Mixed Messages with Jeff Bogue and Jason. I'm doing pretty great, actually.
Really?
Yeah, I think so. Yeah, well. I mean, if you want to change that, we can work on it.
Don't we have a meeting later?
Yeah. Do we?
What was that one day you came in? You were in a great mood. But we had a meeting. You're like, my day is terrible now.
Oh, my gosh.
You were like on cloud nine.
Yeah, you and I had an update that afternoon. And I told, I came in that morning like... tongue in cheek, but like, Jeff, go ahead and retire. I got this. Just on cloud nine. And within like an hour and a half, I'm like, should I brush up my resume? I'm like, I am like ready to be done. Oh, and I'm not usually that guy, but that day, whew,
no, I have a way.
That was right. It wasn't your fault, actually.
Sucking
that day.
The life right out of you.
Oh, the joy of the Lord is my strength, and the working with Jeff Bogue is my nemesis. Well, here we are having that mixed messages with that guy, and I'm Joe Caruso, and we are very glad you're here.
And I'm that guy.
And I'm that guy. you know, it's there's a show at Magic Kingdom at Disney World where it's like a Monsters, Inc. themed.
Yeah, that guy.
And there's that guy. I got to be that guy once.
Oh, did
you
really?
Yeah, that was really cool. Oh, with so many voices out there, it seems like the new social media comedians, even friends, it is tough to know how to think or make decisions. We just want to help you sort through the noise and think through the things in a way that allows you to cut through the mixed messages around us and find the way to Jesus. Let's get into it. Yeah, being that guy was kind of – my daughter loved it.
Oh,
she was
yeah.
like, oh, my gosh. Matter of fact, some of you guys know I'm a sticker on the laptop guy. And they gave me one. Like, it's like, congratulations, you were that guy.
Oh,
but they gave
that's
me a sticker.
Fun.
And so for a couple of years, I actually had that sticker on my computer. But speaking of monsters, how do I find the strength and patience? How do I find the strength and patience to teach or introduce others to Jesus when they're so doubtful? They can be mean or a diehard atheist, and they can laugh and mock our faith. It's frustrating, and it feels like an argument or a debate I can't seem to win. How do I change their mind if they never even give God a chance? No, not everyone is open. I kind of love how they ask this. Just how do I make them listen? I'm sorry that made me chuckle, but I understand the emotion.
Yeah, yeah. It's a great question. I'm not sure that you can.
Yeah, that's kind of why I chuckled a little bit, but it's hard.
So it's interesting what the Bible says. The Bible says that it is the Spirit of God that, and His kindness that draw people to repentance. Mm-hmm. And sometimes in our walk with God, we take on a responsibility that's not our own.
Yeah.
There's an old saying, I think Billy Graham says it. Were you telling me this yesterday? Or somebody was
it? I don't think so.
Billy Graham said that it on average it takes 20 people to lead somebody to Christ.
That wasn't me, but yeah, I've heard things like that.
And the first guy thinks he did nothing, and the last guy thinks he did everything. You know, when in reality, God is working in people's lives.
Well, yeah, so. I mean, both of our stories. We both grew up in church, and it was after high school in college that we finally go, oh.
Yeah, we're like, I love Jesus. Our pastors are like, what have I been saying all these years?
You know, exactly. Kinda, yep.
Yeah, so it's a process that the Holy Spirit's involved with, and we get to participate with the Holy Spirit in that process. But we're not the closer, mm-hmm. And we're actually not the opener. We're always somewhere in the middle. So that's important to remember, that we're called to do the work of an evangelist and do the work of spreading seed. We are not the one who causes it to grow, and sometimes we get to be the ones who harvest it. So I think it's remembering that the Lord does that work. The other thing that I think is important to this, when you look at the Bible, and you look at how God thinks about lost people, he thinks about them on a continuum. Mm. And so if you imagine my left hand and my right hand, if you're listening to this, so on my left hand side, on one side of the continuum, is, you know, kind of all the way over there, that's people who have accepted Jesus. Mm-hmm. And the Bible calls those people the children of God, the royal priests, the holy nation, people belonging to God. So our identities change. And we either have or we will, we're close to that mark of crossing a line to being a follower of Jesus Christ. On the other side of that continuum, on my right hand, there is think of a line or a mark, and on the other side of that mark are what God calls the hard-hearted or the rebellious. And these are people whose consciences are seared. Romans 1, they've been turned over to their ungodliness. Paul says that we turn them over to the devil. And these are mockers, scorners, haters, false teachers, etc. So on one side, you have a line, and just over that line, you have followers of Jesus. On the other side, you have a line, and on the other side of that line are haters of God. Everybody else in the middle is, the Bible calls, lost. They're like sheep without a shepherd, and we're to have compassion on them. And what happens when you're sharing your faith is a lost person can be on the verge of becoming a Christ follower or on the verge of having their conscience seared. Mm-hmm. And you run into everybody in that continuum. And, you know, there's, I fly a lot. And so I have an odd amount of random conversations on airplanes. And so I talk about it probably way too much, but I've led people to Christ on airplanes. Well, they're just way over on the left side of that continuum. Like all they needed, God had worked in their heart. He had spun up. All they needed was to interact with me. Mm-hmm. And then I've run into all kinds of people that they're offended I read my Bible, you know, and then there's all other kinds of people who are like, I don't want to talk right now. Mm-hmm. And they put their headphones on. Or you might have neighbors like this that they like you and they're like, yeah, as long as we're talking about the lawn, but like the Jesus stuff. And they're not really a hater. They're just not interested. They're lost. Mm-hmm. So I think in response to this question, part of it is like your job is to discern who and what you're talking about. Mm-hmm. Because if you're trying to convince a mocker and a hater of God that God has already turned over to their sin and has seared their conscience, there's nothing you're going to say or do that's going to change that.
Yeah.
But it's not our decision to make.
Right.
So I don't know if I'm talking to somebody who's been turned over or somebody who's about ready to be turned over. Mm-hmm. So this is where I do the work of an evangelist, and what that work looks like. It's interesting. I had a high school kid just this last week he wanted to interview me for a class. Mm. He asked great questions. So one of the questions he asked was, he said, "How do you have gospel conversations with people all the time?" And I said, "Well, I just have a standard set of questions." So for instance, I told him, I said, people like to talk about themselves. So I'll often say, where are you from? Do you like it there? Heidi teases me because I'll find, if I'm like, where are you from? They're like, I'm from Vermont. And I'll be like, I'm from the United States also. So she harasses me all the time about it. But I'm like, I'm just making conversation, you know? And then it's fascinating when you start asking people questions, what they'll tell you, and it's fascinating what you wind up having in common, okay? Mm-hmm. So I'm going to make a conversation. Then I'm going to use God talk. And so if you ask me, like Joe asked me, what'd you do this weekend?
Yeah, hey, what'd you do this weekend?
I had a great weekend. We went to church, and we love our church. It was fantastic. And then our church had this big event for kids. I went to that for a long time. And I went home, and my son, two of my boys, and my daughter came over, and we had a granddaughter. She's 2 weeks old. and I get to spend the evening with her. So all I did, I actually just told you what I did.
Mm-hmm.
But I made a point to infusing church or God.
Mm-hmm.
I might have said, yeah, I did this, I did that. I talked to my sister. I've been praying a lot for her because she's going through a lot. I've just been asking the Lord to like help her and give her strength. And then I watched the Browns game. Then I went, and I'll just, and what will happen is people will either bounce right off of that because they're like, ugh.
Mm-hmm.
Or they'll lock on to it because mm-hmm. they're interested. And I try to give them something else they can lock on to. I don't want to be the pushy, creepy church guy.
Mm-mm.
And then I'm just letting the conversation unfold. Another thing that I do a lot is I read my Bible in public.
Mm.
Do it all the time. And it's, you'd be shocked the number of people, Christian people, but a lot of non-Christian people that will talk to you. Because most people recognize a Bible still, mm-hmm. and they'll like talk to you about that. So I'm just kind of living that out. Like, well, what I'm doing is I'm trying to figure out where you're at on that spectrum.
Mm-hmm.
And if you're close to being hard-hearted, you might give me critiques and criticism, but we can at least have a conversation.
Mm-hmm.
If you're close to becoming a follower of Jesus, you might say to me some version of, can you give me the reason for the hope that's within you?
Sure.
And I'm just answering the question. But I'm letting God determine. I'm just putting myself there. If you don't want to talk or you put your headphones on, I'm out. If the conversation goes about Ohio State, I'm in.
Sure.
You know, yep. And I'm just letting it be an overflow of who I am.
I read something this week that said, faith sharing is not a debate to win. It's a relationship to nurture.
That's right.
And that's what you're digging into. It's like, can I cultivate a space where this person might be open to more dialogue?
Yep.
And can I put some seeds into that conversation that allows for something to take root? Because they might not even come back right away. It might be an hour into the flight. They're like, so wait a minute, you mentioned you went to your church. You still, like, people do that still? I mean, it's like,
yeah.
But they might not have responded right away. You might have gotten to Mia and your new granddaughter and all the rest first, and then it circles around.
It's being normal.
Mm-hmm. Right.
but a normal, natural part of my life is my relationship with Jesus.
Yeah.
I don't want to be weird or creepy about it. Now there are exceptions to these rules.
Sure.
So I have a friend, Lewis, who just led his 82-year-old mother to Christ because I think his dad is 83, and his dad just had a major heart problem.
Mm.
So Lewis went to his parents, and he's like, I got to know that you guys know about Jesus.
Yeah, right.
So his mom prayed to accept Christ. His dad is still thinking about it. So I was hugging him and high-fiving mom, and I was like, now you're going to have to go follow up with your dad. But there was a relationship there, and he's like, I actually just need to talk to you about this.
Mm-hmm.
So I really recommend against sales pitches.
Yeah.
I recommend against like small talk, and now have I ever told you about Primerica or mm-hmm. you know Amway or whatever? Like I recommend against those things. I would rather you be blunt. I talked to a friend one time, and I said to him, I said, we were driving somewhere, and I said, I need to talk to you. And he said to me, he goes, this is Jesus stuff, isn't it? I said, yeah. He goes, okay, we're friends. And I said, I'm really afraid you're going to go to hell. That's what I said.
Yeah.
And we talked about that for 3 hours. Now, he never accepted Jesus,
mm-hmm.
And we're still friends. But I was blunt, but I had the relationship with him. Mm-hmm. You know.
Yeah, and it's important, I think, for some personalities to hear what you mean by blunt. What you mean by blunt is, we're going to talk about what we need to talk about, not I was a jerk about it and shoved it down your throat.
Yeah, I'm not arguing. Because
some people hear
you.
Blunt the wrong way.
Yeah, and it's important. I was actually talking to a lady today, and she said, in this situation, what would you do? And I said to her, I said, I'm going to tell you what I would do, but I'm not telling you what you should do.
Right.
So I am me, and you are you. What I would do is this and this and this. If you want to learn from that, great. But what you should do is you should try to make Jesus make sense in the context and in the relationship in which you have with a person.
Mm-hmm.
I don't have any of that. And so this is where it, like, we have almost turned evangelism into sales methods. Uh-huh. That's where it's creepy.
Yep.
And it's not. It's building relationships. And if there's not a relational door open, then I walk away from the door. I'm just one of the 20. Unless the situation calls for it. I met with a guy one time who was dying, and his daughter asked me to go talk to him. And I sat down with him and introduced myself. He knew I was coming. I introduced myself, and I said, it was so fun. I said, you know why I'm here? He said, I think so. I said, why do you think I'm here? He goes, because my daughter wanted you to talk to me about God stuff. I said, that's right. I said, you're dying. I said that to him. Mm-hmm. You're dying, and she's afraid you're going to go to hell. So she asked me to come here. Looked him right in the eye and said that. And he looked me in the eye, and he goes, well, make your pitch, preacher. So I'm like, all right, I guess we're talking. So I did. Now, he accepted Christ. So like, it's gauging all of that. Answering deep and hard questions is different than arguing. Mm-hmm. And if a heart is hard and a mind is closed, the more you press on that heart and the more you knock on that mind, the harder it gets and the more locked up it becomes. And so you have to defer to the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit put you in that place at that time. Mm-hmm. And the Holy Spirit put them in that place at that time. So I don't believe in coincidences. I believe in God appointments. So you and me are here. I'm going to do the work of an evangelist, and then I'm going to ask the Holy Spirit to help me discern whether you're ready, so to say, to be evangelized. Am I going to go from there? And then sometimes God just lays stuff on your heart. I was talking to my son the other day, and he was having a devotional time. He is not like this. This is Pastor Josiah, yeah. If you know him from Collective. It's not like this, but he was having a devotional time, and he said, I was having my devotional time with God, and he said, he was on a retreat, and he said, I heard clear as day God tell me to go to Dunkin' Donuts. He's like, Dad, it was weird, but I was confident. So he said, I went, and I got two buddies, because I felt like the Lord told me to take the first guy I saw with me. So the first guy I saw, I took with me. The second guy I asked because I knew he wouldn't let me chicken out. So they went to Dunkin' Donuts, and he said, I feel like the Lord told me to say to the first employee to talk to her about Jesus. So we waited in line. And he said, I got up to the lady. She's all tatted up. She's like the Dunkin' Donuts lady. And he goes, how's your day going? And she goes, oh, I've had better. And he goes, this sounds weird, but I really feel like the Lord told me to tell you that he loves you. And I feel like the Lord told me to come here and tell you that. And he said, the lady started to cry. And she said, you don't know it, but I was just diagnosed with a bunch of tumors yesterday. And I don't know what's happening with me. And Josiah was like, well, he goes, I know that God loves you and God heard your prayer. And he said, can I pray with you right now? Mm-hmm. So in the Dunkin', I was like, were there customers? He's like, yeah, I just went for it. So in the Dunkin' Donuts line, he prayed for her. Mm-hmm. And she's weeping. And he said, I just want you to know that Jesus loves you and hears you. Mm-hmm. And that's just what I feel like I've been sitting here to say. And they took their coffee and they left. So first of all, I was like, good job, buddy. Mm-hmm. And then secondly, I'm like, sometimes God does that, but it's not weird. Mm-hmm. And I don't think it's every day, but I woke up this morning, mm-hmm. and I was dreaming about a guy from church here. I'm like, I woke up, I'm like, why is he on my mind? And so on my way into the office at 6:30 in the morning, I texted him. I said, hey, I woke up with you on my mind. I'm praying for you. I love you. I hope you're doing well. He texted me back. He's like, you have no idea what that meant. So I think I want to walk with the Holy Spirit, mm-hmm. and he prompts us. It's not, I didn't have a vision. I had like a little dream.
Yeah.
And I didn't go to his house. I texted him, mm-hmm. you know. But I think the Holy Spirit prompts us, and then we follow that. I think the same thing's true of evangelism. Mm-hmm. And I think when you pray and you're walking in the Spirit, you'll know, like, maybe I should push one more question in, or maybe I should check out and start talking about the Browns. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Because I'm moving a relationship, but God has to do that work. I don't do that work.
Yep.
I respond to the work God, I'm doing my own work,
yep.
you know? And then sometimes you get to be the harvester, and sometimes you're the one that sowed the seed, and it's fun.
I want to encourage a few people out there to, sometimes you really need to pray about the people that aren't you, that God is sending into the person you love's life, because this conversation, Jeff, I think is gold for people in particular outside of your immediate family. But then if you have that really stubborn person in your family that doesn't want to hear a thing you have to say, your heart breaks.
Yeah.
Your heart breaks.
Yeah, you're desperate.
And so that God would send, this is exactly what would happen in your life and in mine. We grew up in homes where they wanted us to know Jesus.
Yeah.
And they weren't the ones that led us to Jesus.
That's right.
And like, so if that's you, if you're like, I desperately want my mother, my brother, my wife, my husband, my son, like whoever it is to know Jesus, you may need to be praying about, can he send someone on the plane that will have this conversation? Can he send that friend? Can he, because sometimes you're not going to be the person necessarily. You might be, but you might not be. And God can use those other people. And so that's why we say pray for your three. It's not always so that you can have the conversation.
That's right.
It's so that God can orchestrate the conversation.
Yeah, and I love that, Joe, that you, sometimes we're only praying or thinking about how we get to hit the home run. I was talking to a guy last night. He's actually, I think we're talking about him, about leadership within the church. He said something powerful to me. He's a teacher, and he's been one for 28 years. And we were basically asking, you know, how did you get into teaching? He said, I changed my prayer. I started off asking God for a job, and I changed my prayer, and I asked God for a testimony. And he said, I've been able to give my testimony for 28 years.
That's cool.
And it's shifting that. Like what he's saying was, I just, instead of saying, God, this is what I want, saying, God, I want to do what you want me to do, just help me, show me how to do that. Mm-hmm. You know, instead of saying, God, help me to convince this person that the writer's talking about with the argument, instead of saying that, saying, God, help that person to see your love and your grace.
Yeah.
That may come from who knows where, and that's a great, great thing.
Yeah. Well, as you think about and pray for those people in your life that don't know Jesus, whether maybe they're close, maybe they're super far away, maybe they're just lost, like go to the Lord regularly about how you or about how other people can have these conversations and nurture that relationship to see them get closer and closer to who Jesus is. If you've got questions you'd like us to tackle, head on over to bath.gracechurches.org/mixed messages. Send them our way. And again, we'd love to hear how these conversations are helping you. If you're enjoying the podcast, make sure to subscribe, follow, rate, and review to help others find it too. And of course, we'd love to see you here at Grace this weekend as we continue to run after Jesus together. Thanks for jumping in with us today as we continue to seek God's voice through all the mixed messages around us. We'll catch you next time.